Welcome to Parents' Perspective. So, began Audrey's friend Myra, what are you going to do with Sam this summer? Audrey looked back blankly. Her son Sam was 6 years old and was about to finish first grade. I haven't really thought about making special plans, she confessed. He is only six. Well, you better begin, Myra replied. Matthew's going to the county arts camp. Karen across the street is doing swim team down at the community pool, and my BJ wants to do the beginning t-ball program with the city recreation department. All those spaces are beginning to fill up, you know. From a parent's perspective, how and when can we choose appropriate summer experiences for our children? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today specializes in recreation programming for young children. Ellen Greenberg is Youth Services Coordinator for the Parks Authority in Fairfax County, Virginia. She's a former preschool teacher as well. We're so glad you could join us today, Ellen.
Thank you for having me.
In what ways do children benefit from a summer program or a summer camp?
Well, I would say that children benefit in several ways. Physically, they are out there getting fit, and there's exercise to be gained from different physical programs. Socially, increases their socialization skills, being with other children in a group setting. Also, cognitively, children learn many different things, different skills, different games. They learn how to follow directions and take turns and those sort of things from going to summer camp.
All of those sound like things that they also do in school.
That's true.
Or am I wrong?
True. It's very true, especially in their PE classes and things like that. So camps are set up similar to what they do in PE.
So it's a lot of large muscle, hands-on kind of thing, exploration.
Right. And it depends on the type of camp. Let's say a child goes to a sports-oriented camp, it's going to be a lot of large motor skills and physical development. If a child goes to a fine arts type of camp, then you're looking at fine motor skills, and the children are building crafts and using scissors and gluing and things like that, and that uses a whole different type of skill. So it really depends on the type of camp that the child is enrolled in.
How do you know which type of camp is best for your child?
Well, I think the most important thing is to know your child, and the parents know their children best, and I think you need to see what kinds of interests your children have. Is your child interested in arts and crafts? Is your child interested in swimming? Or is there a particular sport that the child's interested in? The best thing to do is find out what that interest area is for the child, because that would be a more enjoyable program. On the other hand, too, you might want to find something that the child needs to further develop. Mm-hmm. Let's say the child's interested in soccer, but you think that the child needs a little more practice before joining the local neighborhood league. Then you can choose a sports-oriented camp that introduces a variety of sports, or one that just introduces soccer as the main focus.
What kinds of things should parents keep in mind when they're thinking about summer experiences?
Well, I think the most important thing is to be sure that the camp is providing a safe environment for children. Safety should be number one. Another big factor is it going to be fun for your child? A lot of times parents may choose something that they think would be fun for them, but are forgetting that they're not the ones going to camp, that it's the children going to camp. And I think that there are a few things that you want to really research before sending a child to camp, especially an all-day camp where they're going to be going for a week or 2 weeks, whether it's residential or day camp. You want to ask yourself, is this camp program licensed? And what I mean by that is, in Fairfax County, where I coordinate programs, we are licensed by the State Department of Social Services. And we are regulated just like daycare centers are because of the amount of time we have children in our care. So you want to find out if the program is licensed by anything, whether it's the health department or the Department of Social Services. A good question to ask any director is, what is the ratio of staff to children? You certainly don't want your children to attend a program where there's 100 children and two staff running the whole show. A good safe ratio, I believe, would be one staff member to 10 children for school-agers, and lower than that for preschool age. In Virginia, our state mandates a 1 to 20 ratio. So Fairfax County actually goes better than that, and they do a 1 to 10 ratio. But it's important for parents to check into that in their state or their local government to see if there are any regulations or any licenses that their camps need to meet.
Boy, a 1 to 20 ratio sounds way off,
right,
to me.
Right.
I would be overwhelmed if I were the camp teacher or counselor, yeah, whatever, and I had 20 kids all to myself.
I would say the burnout ratio for the staff, yeah, in those programs is probably pretty high. But if you think about in school, you know, they have about 25 children. You have one PE teacher teaching physical education with that many children, and then the classroom setting's a little bit different because they are sitting at tables or desks. So you can realize how tough it is on the teachers nowadays with the big classes. But another thing that parents should ask is, what kind of discipline techniques are used in the program? And I think that's important as well. A program that says that they just exclude the child or sit them in timeout, if that's their style of discipline, then that might be appropriate program for them. If they're totally against that type of discipline, then that's something, you know, they're going to have to think about too, because then there will be a difference between what goes on at home and how the camp is managing behavior.
They need to know what disciplinary methods are employed
right.
for. What does a child do that might
sure.
warrant that?
Sure.
I have a question for you about the safety issue you raise. How can a parent judge the safety of a program?
That goes back to finding out if the program has any kind of license or certifications. The Fairfax County Park Authority programs are licensed by the Virginia Department of Social Services, like I mentioned before. We have to follow very strict guidelines regarding our staff. The ratios is one of them. The staff qualifications, program content, building, and things that are in the building where the children are housed for summer camps. So the guidelines and the regulations are endless. So I think looking at the staff qualifications and the ratios is probably your utmost important safety factor.
What's a good age for kids to begin a day camp experience? How do you know if your child is ready to go to a summer day camp
right.
program?
Well, parents can tell, I believe, when their child is ready to separate from them. When the child engages in group settings very easily or with a little bit of encouragement from a teacher or a caregiver. And if the child's able to separate from the parent for a certain amount of time, then I think the child's ready for more independence and like a camp sort of setting. It depends, though. I mean, if you're looking at a three-year-old child who hasn't been away from parent for the first time and the only options in your neighborhood are six-hour programs, that might not work as well as if you have a three-day-a-week program for 3 hours a day or 2 hours a day or something like that. So it depends on where your child's at as far as separating and also the length of the programs that are offered in your area.
What about overnight camp?
Well, I have my own overnight camp experience. From when I was about 10 years old, I went to an overnight camp, and I don't recall ever having been to day camp before that. And I went, and I remember it feeling like I was gone for months, although it was only a two-week program. But a couple of the things I remembered is we had to wear swimming caps, and they were colored according to how you could swim, your level. So nowadays, I'm sure they don't do things like that anymore. But I remember everything was very scheduled out, and you had to be in arts and crafts at this time and somewhere else at this time. And there was a lot of things I didn't like about it. So I kind of look back and laugh that I now coordinate children's programs, day camp programs, that is. But I think I know and can remember from my childhood what it was that children didn't like or what scared me as a child going to summer camp. And hopefully make it better for the children that are attending our camps.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on summer activities for children.
The excellent new book, Parents as Mentors, by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is a practical guide to bringing out the abilities in your child. Parents as Mentors is available at all bookstores.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Ellen Greenberg about summer programs for children.
We sent one of our sons to a camp, an overnight camp, 3 years in a row to the same camp. And the first year he had a marvelous time, and all we heard was it was wonderful and terrific, and he was there for several weeks. And the second year, same thing, it was all wonderful. And the third year, we began to get right away these postcards saying, I'm so sad being here. This is a terrible camp. You need to come and get me right away. So, of course, by this point, we knew the director and his wife and the staff, and so we called up. And they said, he's having a problem? Well, he's out there right now. He's throwing an airplane with some kids, and they're romping in the field. Do you want us to call him to the phone? I said, no, don't do that. That's going to make him more homesick. Could I talk with his counselor? So they found me the counselor. I talked with the counselor. He said, this child isn't showing any signs of having any problems. He's not complaining. He's participating actively. And I said, fine, goodbye. Thank you. Anyway, we had to make this same phone call two more times because we kept getting these postcards about how sad he was and what a terrible place this was and why we should come and get him. And of course, our gut feel was that he was having an emotional time over something, but clearly the camp was okay. So we went to pick him up when he got off the bus that brought him back from camp, and we were just dying. We were waiting to hear that this child was beside himself, and he gets off, arms absolutely overloaded with projects that he had made that were much too fragile to pack in any other way. And I'm waiting for him to say something. He had a wonderful time. He's going on and on. 2 hours later, after we had had a snack and we were comfortably ensconced at home, I finally couldn't stand it anymore. And I said, "You've got to tell me why you sent us all those postcards about how sad you were." And he said, "Well, at night when I was trying to go to sleep, I'd get a little bit homesick and lonesome for you guys. And so I would write you postcards and then I would mail them the next morning." So he was really fine. And it was a case of parents had to use our own judgment. And because of past experience with the same child and the same place, we were doing okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Speaking of that kind of experience with camp, even when we're talking about day camps, how can a parent decide what's a good fit for his or her child?
Well, I think they do need to figure out, based on the child's, you know, age level and experience, how long of a day camp would be appropriate. If you're looking at day camp or if you're looking at a residential camp, even how long? Is a week, 2 weeks? What is a good amount of time that they think that their child would fit in most appropriately? I also think that it's very, very important for children to help in the selection of their camp program. You know, what are their interests? And a lot of times when parents are selecting a summer camp program, they are looking for some sort of childcare, especially for day camps, because parents are working and need something fun and active for their children while they're at work during the summertime when school's out. So it would also have to not only meet the child's needs and interests, but also suit the family and the parents as a whole. And a lot of times that's kind of a struggle that parents face is, well, this is their need. They need, you know, a program that's 8 hours a day, but yet, you know, is their child ready for that much? So that's something that has to be dealt with at home. And a lot of times parents who actually bring the child to the camp location several times, that helps children get accustomed to the program, talking about all the fun things that are going to happen in camp. A lot of times camps will send out a calendar or some information before the camp begins, and it's wonderful for parents to communicate with their children, strike up conversations about, oh, what would you like to do at camp? And, you know, oh, I see that, you know, you're going on a field trip on Wednesday, you know, the third day of your camp stay or whatever, and talk to them about, you know, some of the things that are upcoming, some of the things that they think their child will be interested in, and getting the children excited about attending camp is very important.
I would assume an open house also would be a good thing.
Yeah, a lot of camp programs have open house or parents information meetings where the kids can come in also and meet the counselors, and I think that's important as well. But I think it's important for the parents to definitely pay a couple visits to a camp location with the child. At residential camp, it might be a little more difficult. It's further away. But if you can visit it once or twice, I guess you're going to visit it first of all, to find the camp location. It's definitely important for the parents to go see where they're sending their children to. It's funny because my sister went to a horseback riding camp. It was an overnight camp, and my parents had seen it, and they thought, oh, my gosh, we're leaving our daughter at this camp. And it was just a couple huts, and it was in the middle of the woods and everything. And they sent my sister for 1 week, and she wrote back, and she said, I want to go for a month. And then they sent her for a month, and she wrote back and said, I want to go for another 2 weeks. And she wrote back, and she ended up wanting to go the whole eight-week summer to this horseback riding camp. And it was funny because the other day we were cleaning out my parents' house, and my mom came across a bunch of letters from my sister from camp. And we opened them up, and one of the envelopes had nothing in it. Another one said, I'll write more later. What happened is she needed to have a letter to get into breakfast to eat. So she used to send empty envelopes home, except for once in a while, one would say, I want to go for 2 more weeks. And that was kind of funny. And it's a nice feeling that camp must have been doing something right, and the kids were enjoying their time there.
We've gotten a lot of those empty envelopes. We've sent 3 sons away to different camps over the years. And we knew immediately when an empty envelope came, the child got in to eat.
Right.
So we had a good one where one child sent, there was some kind of a riflery range, and one child sent a bullet casing to the other, who was thrilled to pieces to receive it.
That's so funny.
Well, then there was the letter we got from one of our children who was at away at camp, but he had gone to day camp a number of times, and we thought he would be very safe at this wonderfully reputable camp. And he wrote a letter about all the different things he was doing. And at the end, he said, but my favorite activity is cliff jumping.
Oh.
Love you, and signed the letter. Well, I was beside myself. What was cliff jumping? It was really cliff jumping with sneakers and a bathing suit from a cliff into water, obviously. But that was his favorite activity. And all we could think of was we spent a bazillion dollars on his braces.
Right,
we took
right.
him for all his pediatric care, you know, over all these years. Right. We took care of this kid. We nurtured this kid. And now he's jumping off cliffs.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because adventure type camps are very, very popular with the older age group. Like I was talking about the 9 and older age group, whether it's kayaking or cliff jumping or rock climbing. They have all kinds of different adventure camps. I know that we're starting to spread into offering some adventure-type programs, too, where every day they're going on a different adventure. So in Fairfax County, we just started doing that as well. But I think
those are day programs.
Those are day programs. Right? Actually, they have residential overnight adventure camps as well all throughout the country. I actually, at a couple camp fairs I went to, met several residential camps from all over the place. And some of them take the children scuba diving and all kinds of neat things that you could do.
When you're looking at a summer camp for a small child, do you need fabulous equipment, fabulous facilities? Do you need all these kinds of adventures and field trips and so forth? What really makes a program good?
The number one thing that makes a program good is the staff. And that's one of my biggest challenges in my job is finding quality, mature individuals who want to work with children. And that's the most important thing because the staff can make or break your program. You can have a great program content, but if you have staff that are not so great, you really have nothing. You have to choose staff that can bond well with the children. And that's what they'll talk about or remember well after the camp is over. They'll remember a certain counselor and certain things. And they may remember certain adventures, but they'll remember how the counselors made them feel and the friendships that they made. So I think the staff are very important. And it's important for parents to try to get to know their children's counselors or the directors of the program and to ask, like I said earlier, about the qualifications of the staff. Do they have experience? Are they certified in first aid and CPR? Are they trained? How are they trained? You know, is there a certain course or a certain amount of hours that they're trained? Do they have a genuine interest in the children? Are they enthusiastic?
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on summer activities for children.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Ellen Greenberg about summer programs for children.
What kinds of things should parents beware of when they're choosing a summer camp?
Sometimes parents choose something that is right for them, but may not be so right for their children or their child. And I think that's one of the most important things is it may seem fun to them, but is this going to be a fun program for their children? Is their child going to feel comfortable in the program? I think they should keep safety in mind. And I think you should look around where the camp is going to be held, the surroundings, buildings, and also, you know, ask a lot of questions. Ask them what their pickup procedures are, which is very big nowadays in dismissing children, having children go home with the proper parents, and so on and so forth. Does the camp program have strict guidelines, and what kind of guidelines do they have? Visiting the program and figuring out if the program meets your child's needs and interests is probably the most important.
One of our nephews, when he went for his first day of camp, decided that it would be much more fun if he gave the camp counselors a different name, the name of an older cousin whom he admired. So when his mother went to pick him up that day, they didn't have anyone by that name. They did, however, have someone by a name of an older cousin that she knew, and so she finally figured it out. But
her child had a new name?
Very frightening because her child was nowhere to be found.
Right.
How should parents evaluate a child's summer experience this year in order to plan what would be appropriate for the following year?
Talking to your child about their experience. And a lot of times, you know, after camp, you'll pick up your child from camp and you'll say, oh, what did you like about today? Or what did you do today? And the famous answer is nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's good for parents to look over any kind of materials that are sent home from the program, because that will be the source for you to start communicating with your child about the camp program. You should evaluate a few things, looking at safety again. I know I keep mentioning safety, but it is the most important factor. But was it a safe environment, or did your child come home, you know, with all kinds of cuts and bruises? And although in camp, if they're having a good time, they may get some cuts and bruises, but were you informed about it? Did somebody take care of it?
I had a child in a day camp program one year with his cousin who, number one, he and his cousin were lost from the group when they were on a little field trip, a little hike. Nobody noticed they were missing. And the cousin stepped on a beehive that was wedged in between some rocks. So it was a real interesting day. Obviously, they were found and brought home, but it was a bit of a trauma for them to have been lost. They went back the next day, however. It was the parents who were more upset than the kids, but it was a responsibility issue.
Well, I constantly tell our staff that, you know, cuts and scrapes and bruises will happen, especially if the children are having fun. They're going to get dirty. They're going to fall down. But it's important to communicate with the parents what happened during the day. You know, if the child has a bruise, we actually have, you know, with the government, you have a lot of forms. And so there's always a form to fill out if there's an injury or scrape, or even if a child has a hangnail and asks for a Band-Aid, we normally have to fill out some kind of paperwork and document whatever the injury was, and also tell the parents about it. But you want to make sure and evaluate programs and make sure that the camp experience was a positive one for your child. Did they make friendships? Did they come home and talk about their counselors? Is there a smile on their face at the end of the day? Some parents say that they want their child to be very, very tired when they come home at the end of the day. So was your child tired? Did they say they had the best time? The child doesn't want the camp to end is always a good sign that they'll want to go back. And also, parents should evaluate, was it a good value for the money? Was it worth what they had paid out? So I think that's important, too, on the other end, is, you know, was it worth the money? Would you recommend it to somebody else? Those type of things. And if it's something you wouldn't recommend to somebody else, then why would you want to send your child back again?
I had one son who lost many bathing suits in the course of a month at a summer day camp, and it turned out that no one had ever actually shown him, this is where you put your things when you're finished swimming. You hang your towel on this hook and your bathing suit on that hook. So when it was time to come home, he could never find his belongings. At the end of the summer, we found a lot of them in the lost and found, which he didn't know about either. But that was an interesting experience, and it just didn't occur to us to say, well, do you know where to put your bathing suit?
Sure. Well, that's a good point when you visit the location, is to have some of these questions written down and take notes with you beforehand when you're meeting the counselors or you're going to look at the location. Think of everything, you know, that you could think of what the child's going to need to know, because you can't assume that the counselors are going to remember to tell the child everything, like where to put your stuff and you know, where the restrooms are or anything. Make sure that you find that out, you know, ahead of time.
How can parents find reliable sources for safe and productive summer activities in their own communities? Are there numbers that they can call?
Sure. Actually, for Fairfax County, our recreation centers and parks have a magazine that we put out, and it's put out quarterly. So I believe that any local community, if they have a recreation department, I'm sure they have some kind of magazine or brochure that they put out listing their summer camp programs, contacting local community centers. The internet is a wonderful way to find camp programs. If you just type in summer camps in your area, usually you can find something on the internet. Government websites, like Fairfax County has a website. Other counties may have websites of their own, too, that you can click onto the government website and you can go anywhere, libraries or courts or parks or whatever you're looking for. Department of Social Services, those are great ways to find out what kinds of summer programs or even year-round programs are offered for children. Also, parent-type newspapers. We have Washington Families and Washington Parent newspapers in our area, and there may be other areas that have those kind of newspapers geared directly towards parents, and they do have a lot of camp information in those.
Those are just free handouts we pick up in any library.
Right, right. Yeah, the library is a great resource, and the internet's a great resource.
My guess is that a school counselor or somebody in the office of an elementary school may have a stack of the same kind of free handouts from the county rec department or so forth that parents can use.
A lot of times in certain municipalities, the camps sometimes are run and operate out of the schools. So hopefully the schools, would have that information as well.
Our special thanks to Ellen Greenberg, who has offered all sorts of helpful suggestions today for planning productive summers for our kids.
Thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller today will be an autographed copy of our new book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. That's 1-800-791-8573. We look forward to hearing from you. We'd like to send you Parents as Mentors. To order tapes of any show, send a $5 check or money order to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015. That's Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
You can also reach Parents Perspective through your local station or by email to parentsper, that's P-A-R-E-N-T-S-P-E-R, at AOL.com. Or again, call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573. To learn more about us and our book Parents as Mentors, visit our website through our shortcut address, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.